Should driver's license suspensions be used as an enforcement mechanism for things that are not connected to driving behavior? Professor Buzz Schur joins me to discuss. This is the UNH Law Podcast. Learn more about the law school and apply by visiting law.unh.edu. Opinions discussed are solely the opinion of the faculty or hosts and do not constitute legal advice or necessarily represent the official views of the University of New Hampshire. So, Buzz, what made you want to look into this matter?
Well, there's a national movement going around that is looking at when states authorize either the judge or the Department of Motor Vehicles to suspend somebody's license. Mm-hmm. I became interested in this particular issue as an outgrowth of the work I've been doing in the New Hampshire legislature on economic justice issues in the criminal justice system.
For example, bail reform.
Bail reform, debtor's prison, that kind of thing. Are we unfairly punishing people who are poor just because they're poor and not for some more legitimate reason? And so when you look at around the country, there's a lot of states who, if you don't show up for court, they suspend your license. Mm. If you don't pay a fine, they suspend your license. If you don't, if you engage in a certain type of conduct that has nothing to do with your driving behavior, they suspend your license. And the question, I started thinking seriously about this because particularly in a state like New Hampshire, which is a semi-rural state.
Totally. you need a car to get around.
You need a car to get around. And if you're living on the edge, if you're living paycheck to paycheck,
right,
or don't even have the luxury of living paycheck to paycheck, then having your license suspended, when it's not being suspended for driving badly or some misbehavior as a driver, it really has a profound impact. I mean, it's completely appropriate to suspend somebody's license for bad driving behavior, be
right,
it for DWI or for reckless operation or whatever. Over the years, in many states, it's certainly true in New Hampshire, well, we don't know what to do about this. Let's suspend their license. You know,
yeah,
the use of a license suspension to enforce things that have nothing to do with driving has just grown and grown over the years. Currently, there are 22 different provisions in the New Hampshire Motor Vehicle Code for which somebody's license can be suspended that have nothing to do with driving.
What's the justification for having that as a punishment?
The same justification for not having it as a punishment. It's really an important thing to people to have their driver's license to get to their job, to go shopping,
yeah,
to meet the needs of their family. And so they'll sit up and pay attention if there's a threat that their license will be suspended. And so it's both the justification and the problem.
Yeah.
And, you know, my view is we need to scale down the things we're doing it for. For example, there is a provision that DMV can suspend somebody's license for moral turpitude.
What's that mean?
You know as much as I do as to what moral turpitude means. it begs for an abuse of discretion.
Easily.
You know, one person's moral turpitude is another person's fine behavior.
Right.
You know, people who are different historically, you know, over the centuries, people who are different, who exist on the margins of society because they are different, tend to be accused of moral turpitudinous, being morally turpitudinous, being accused of moral turpitude.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a catch-all phrase that it's so broad, it ends up meaning nothing. It's all in the eye of the beholder. And while it may have been well intended, it needs to be written in a better way. It needs to be say, a DMV can suspend your license for driving behavior that is not doesn't make you eligible for being a habitual offender, where we can take away your license for 4 years. That doesn't mean you're guilty of a misdemeanor, but you have a history of driving in such a way that we are concerned enough that we're going to suspend your license for 30 days,
yeah.
just to make the point. I mean, there's still problems with that, but that's a better way to put it than we can do whatever we want, just as long as we call it moral turpitude.
Mm-hmm. Are there any more legitimate, like there should be a punishment of some sort where the suspension is being used?
Well, one of the hard ones is we want people to show up to pay their fines, right?
Right. How are you going to show up if you don't have a car?
We want people to show up for well, yeah. I mean, a classic one is we want people to show up for court. If you don't show up for court, we're going to enter a default and your license is going to be suspended. We're going to make it harder for you to show up for court.
Yeah.
So there's a discontinuity there. That said, you know, it'll cost money. Fewer people might show up for court.
Yeah.
If that enforcement mechanism is gone, paying fines, you know, you haven't paid your fine. We're going to threaten that you're going to suspend your license if you don't pay your fine by this date. You know, yeah, more people do pay their fines. So, I mean, those are the hard ones in that there is benefit to its use as an enforcement mechanism, but there's a price that comes with it, which is not necessarily the price as a society we want to pay as a society. So, for example, with paying of fines, there's now a mechanism, given the work we did with debtors' prison, there's now a mechanism in place that says if you haven't paid your fine, they can call you into court and appoint you a lawyer, and there can be a hearing to decide whether you have the ability to pay your fine or not. And if the court finds that you don't have the ability to pay the fine, they can't send you to jail, and they can't punish you. Basically, what they'll do is they'll suspend the fine if you don't have the financial wherewithal to pay a $1,000 fine. Or they might reduce the fine to an amount you can pay. So that's an alternate mechanism that's in place. You still may have people paying their fines even if you're not threatening them with the loss of their license.
Mm-hmm.
If you threaten them instead with, you haven't paid your fine, and if you can afford to pay your fine and you're found to be able to afford to pay your fine, if you haven't paid your fine by this date, we're going to have a hearing and this is what's going to happen.
Right.
And if you can't afford to pay your fine and you don't, you're going to jail.
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of the problem or issue at hand with the bail reform, the debtor's prison, and this is where does the... At what point is there an actual way to punish people without jail being the only punishment accessible?
Yeah, that's definitely a part of it. And the other part of it is, as a society, how broad is the group? What are the tools we want to use to punish people for, quote unquote, bad behavior when those tools have nothing, are not, there's no causal relationship between the bad behavior and the mechanism that you're using
right.
to punish them. We don't want to be overbroad in the number of people we punish because it's not productive
mm-hmm.
in so many different ways. Having families out there with nobody in the family who can drive, having families out there with somebody in jail because they can't afford to pay a fine, is not what we want. So writing legislation that draws the line that says everybody on this side of the line, we're not going to apply this enforcement mechanism. Everybody on this side of the line, we are. And that's an ongoing process that the legislature engages in every year. And we are, myself and the ACLU of New Hampshire are proposing our legislation. There's a bill that's just been filed to get rid of as many of those 22 suspensions for non-driving reasons mm-hmm. as we can. And that's going to be an ongoing back and forth between law enforcement community, between the Department of Motor Vehicles, the courts, and legislators about, can we draw the line better than those all those 22 things.
The ability to drive is kind of unique as opposed to other things you do in your day-to-day life, where ultimately the ability to drive, to receive a license to drive, is something that's directly given out by the state, and
it's
the state
privilege.
Takes care of it. It's a privilege, and there's not many things that are like that, that the state can say, hey, you don't have the right to do that directly.
What's so interesting about the privilege of driving a driver's license is, one, it's a privilege, but particularly in a state like New Hampshire, it is also virtually a necessity.
Yeah.
And there's not many privileges that are also travel as a necessity too.
Right.
And that's what makes this so hard to sort out. You know, you get a lot of leverage when you say to somebody, you don't do this, I'm going to take your license away. I mean, it's like saying to a teenager, you don't do this, I'm not going to give you my car to drive.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, it's entire. I grew up in rural Maine. I mean, we're a half an hour from the closest town that actually had a full grocery store. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of that, especially when you start driving north. I mean, a lot of people in Concord, Manchester, even Massachusetts, don't really probably consider that so
north
much.
North of Concord, it matters.
It's very quickly, it matters. I mean, you're not able to get food.
Yeah, north of Concord and west of Manchester.
Yeah.
And west of Concord, it matters tremendously. And yet we manage that with having a driver's license being a privilege, and it makes a lot of sense for it to be a privilege. But we need to take a look at it and bring some reform to the process. Let's not be enforcing things. Let's not have driver's licenses and the privilege of driving be the dumping ground for enforcing things that have nothing to do with driving.
Thanks for listening to the UNH Law Podcast. Learn more about us by visiting law.unh.edu or following UNH Law on social media. Be sure to comment and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or Spotify. Opinions discussed are solely the opinion of the faculty or host and do not constitute legal advice or necessarily represent the official views of the University of New Hampshire.